You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him. Flip.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball, make sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
Touchdown, Bears!
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, destined for greatness since the fields of Cathedral of St. Raymond. Tom Thayer has achieved it all, and we are delighted that he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Tom, good morning. What a joy and a pleasure and an honor to share the airwaves.
Morning, Tom.
Oh, my God. You're so – hi, David. Hi, Mike. How you guys doing?
You're still full of baloney, but how you doing? But that's – well, I'm an Irishman. I'll tell you this, though, Tom. As I watch the Bears play, there's like a splinter in my mind. It's so great to see them win in the way they're winning, and I know that it's wrong to complain about the way a team wins, but there is something – again, I said to David earlier, are we going to complain about a defense that limited a team to 13 points in the NFL? And the answer is kind of yes, because it's just not as good as it could be, as maybe it should be.
Yeah, but it's the second game of the season. I think yeah. You know, I've been listening to you guys since 6 o'clock this morning, and it's kind of like you're asking for a finished product within the second week of a regular season with a shortened training camp with about 10 new moving parts, including coaches and players. So to me, I look at it the other way. I look at a tape to see what can I correct. What mistakes are they making, either repeatedly or glaring mistakes that make that they need to be a better team going into Atlanta and down the road. So, you know, if you looked at it every time with a woe's me approach, I think you're never going to improve a team that includes like 80 guys trying to develop either the position they play, their responsibilities, or how old they are in terms of their career. So, I'm a glass half full guys, instead of a glass half empty.
Fair enough, Tom, and I respect that because I think you're looking at it from the player's perspective and you understand how difficult a victory is in the NFL. I guess it just is a product of, number one, the opponent, which is, you know, the Giants and the Lions are not exactly two of the top teams on the schedule. And the other thing is I think that when you build up a 17-point lead at halftime, I think you felt pretty good about the direction of things yesterday if you're a Bears fan after two quarters. And then something happened, and I'm not sure what, because the emphasis on the running game has been there through two games. And I think the balance that you're looking for and the identity that Matt Nagy wanted to establish has been established in a way because the offensive line has been better. But what's missing then? What is the next step to go from, okay, we've emphasized the running game, we've achieved more balance, but it's not quite there yet. What needs to happen?
A lot of the details. You know, Mitchell Trubisky, at times he's got to, you know, run the play according to the plan because as great as the catch was on the first third down by Allen Robinson and it continued the drive alive, the fourth play of the game resulted in a sack that Mitchell Trubisky should have thrown the ball to Tariq Cohen out to the left-hand side rather than taking a sack. But all that's correctable by reps and by the evaluation of it on tape. And if you see it right now, David and Mike, you know, when you go through a four-week training camp, if you're going to try to install a new play, you're going to run it probably 45 to 70 times during the course of a training camp, different during the different periods you run. Right now, you're trying to install new material, and maybe you get four or five, you know, turns at it, you know. And then if the defense doesn't react or they're not set up in the way that you've configured them in practice to according to the analytics and stuff, and then you're trying to figure it out on the run. So that's what I'm saying. In week two of this season, it's unique. Now, if they're still doing these same, if they're still having these same issues in week five, in week seven, yeah, then, you know, then the radar goes up and, you know, you have issues that you got to take care of. To me, I look at the correctable mistakes and try to move forward. And it you're trying to achieve a new identity, or you're trying to run the ball more to be, and you are able to accomplish that, but it's still something, in motion. You still, you know, the offensive line is going to be more well organized in a couple more weeks than they are right now. New head coach, new guys in certain positions. And, you know, it is performance based. So listen, I'm not, you know, putting them in Super Bowl conversation, but I'm not saying just because they played the Giants and the Lions this early in the season that, you know, oh my God, they're going to go down and play Atlanta, who just gave up 40 points. And, you know, what's going to happen? I see a developing pass rush. I see an offensive coordinator in Atlanta that has to be a lot more concerned about his pass protection responsibilities, guys that maybe he has to keep in now that you didn't have to before, Robert Quinn or Mingo has, you know, had some good pass rushes and stuff. So, you have to look at, you know, the positives going forward rather than just dwelling on the negatives. But I do think Matt, he points out the negatives as much as he does the positives.
I thought it was interesting the way the Giants tried to play the Bears close to the red zone and the way Trubisky took advantage of that. On the first touchdown, he buys time, he kind of sells the run, and then he does whatever that was that a jump pass, the little pass to the sideline to Montgomery, who takes off. And then the second time, again, they're only rushing like three guys, and he's got time, and he buys himself more time, and then he can wave at Darnell Mooney and throw a touchdown pass and take advantage of that guy's abilities. That was great. I mean, it was good to see him kind of understand, you know, how to win that grass football battle when a play breaks down.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the thing about it is they talk a lot about this amoeba defense before this whole game took place with the confusion. So when they were running that defense on third down, they were still only rushing three, maybe four guys at a time. And it's just about the responsibilities of the offensive line. Try and, you know, don't get out of position. Just do your responsibility. Take care of your area of concern and then provide the time for the quarterback. To me, it's more encouraging that Mitch kept his eyes downfield, didn't panic, didn't try to run away from the pocket, even though he at one time in the Mooney touchdown, he was attempted to run upfield, but he didn't, and then, you know, located the receiver and threw the touchdown. So, you know, those are, you know, some of the building blocks of, you know, of what you want Mitch to do in those cases. So, yeah, it is encouraging. There are two plays that, you know, kind of took a little bit time to develop, but he did find the outlet in David Montgomery, the first one. And he had good, you know, kind of understanding relationship with Darnell Mooney to get him open the end zone. To me, I want to see more Jimmy Graham going forward. Before the game, I said I would rather see 84 get more carries and 32 get more catches. And I think that, you know, those types of things can open up the game plan and maybe limit a little bit of the in-line of scrimmage abuse of David Montgomery so you have him for the long haul. So, you know, I'm not disappointed. I'm not, you know, I'm, you know, kind of like a coach going forward. I'm going to sit here and coach what they're doing well, but I'm also going to coach harder what they're not doing so well yet.
Okay, Tom, on defense, let's look at 13 points is a positive. That you definitely should win most games that you give up only 13 points. Look at Danny Trevathan. I'm curious in how they're using him this year, because is it a matter of conditioning, perhaps, that he's not playing on a lot of passing downs? They bring in Nickel and they remove him in a way that they have not removed him in the past. Is that going to change, do you think? And how important is it for him to get back to the point and the level that he's used to be playing at?
You know, everybody wants to see Danny Trevathan get back and, you know, show like the speed that he's displayed here and you know, while he's been healthy. I do think, you know, when you get to that stage of your career, it is a product of having more reps, having more time on your feet, having more tape to evaluate what your opponent is doing. Because when you go in there blind against the Detroit week one, yeah, man, he got caught, you know, a couple times completely off guard. And, you know, receiver, whether it's a tight end or running back running by him. But I think the Bears are fortunate that, you know, Chuck Pagano is not Vic Fangio. So when you start developing different plans of attack, now you insert a safety instead of Danny Trevathan. They're fortunate that Deion Bush has had a solid camp, that they have confidence where they can play him and put him in those coverage responsibilities. It's just like the development of Roquan Smith. Now, instead of Roquan coming out and passing downs and Danny staying in, now Roquan gets to stay in. He has the ability to cover backs out of the backfield one-on-one. He can run with a tight end. And even in a disaster situation, he can line up to the sideline and run with the running back. So, you know, the transformation of personnel is a constant in the NFL. And when you have hopes of young guys developing, that's always going to challenge veterans. So, I think that's the case. I don't think Danny's exempt from that, but I think also he and everybody else understands that it's about playing better the next game, not like he played a couple years ago.
I didn't understand at the end of the game when they went for the 50-yard field goal by Cairo Santos that he did not hit. I didn't understand why they didn't run the ball. I know that Mitch kind of ran out and then slid down, but I didn't understand why they didn't use David Montgomery, who had gotten some chunk yardage in the second half, definitely in the first half. I just thought that if you're going to kick a field goal there, why not move forward? Why not, you know, I think it was a 49-yarder before that play started. Why lose a yard? And technically you had a sack there, as opposed to if you know you're going to kick it, why not try to gain 3 or 4 yards? I get not throwing. You know, if it's incomplete, you're not eating time, which is what you want to do at the end of the game. But if you know you're going to be attempting a field goal there, why not run the running back?
I agree with you 100%, Molly. But, it's like going back to the last three plays before the first half ended last week in Detroit. I was disappointed in the way they called those plays, because they gave Detroit an extra possession opportunity to score, and then they come out and they have the ball to start the second half. When you go to that, I think there's also learning elements for Matt Nagy, the play caller, as well as there is for when the plays didn't succeed. So I think that anytime that you can keep the ball in the hands of the running back and, you know, instill more confidence in your offensive line to get the job done, you know, that's the way to go about the business, because David Montgomery is a tough tackle at the line of scrimmage for losses. And I'm in agreement with you there. But it was also, there was a couple design runs for Mitch that, you know, that they didn't work out as well as I see Mitch running the ball. So there's just elements that everybody is held up to a different standard of improvement. And, you know, I don't think Matt's exempt from that, just like any of the players that are being judged to play in and play out.
All righty, Tom. Thanks so much. Really appreciate your time. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, man. It's good talking to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.